Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You may have noticed I am not Michael nor Wes, but I do thank you. I do thank the both of you guys for allowing me to come up here and be before each and every one of you this morning. And I count it a blessing for this opportunity. Earlier last month in November, I got a text from Michael asking if I'd be willing to preach this Sunday. And I was at work, and I was just thinking, this is a lot to ask of me. You know, and I told him yes. So then he asked me, oh, do you want the AM service or PM service? So I was thinking, like, all right, I'll say the AM service, and just showing you where my mind was at, I was thinking, like, oh, maybe when I walk up here, I'll trip up the steps, and, oh, he's hurt, he can't be up. You know, I just, I saw this as an opportunity to, as an opportunity for me to reach out to each and every one of you, because I feel like everyone in their own right has something to say. That'll touch somebody, that'll encourage somebody, that'll kind of turn them away from thoughts that are not of God and towards thoughts of righteousness. So I ask that be patient with me. I am a little nervous, but I know this is for God, and that helps me get through. So I just want us to focus on that same scripture once again. Romans 12, verse 2. And it says, do not be comforted to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, when we think of this, you know, that's really a desire that God entrusts in us. When we are on this earth, you know, we're not of the world. He wants to live in it, but not of it. So that what that means is, you know, there's so many things that are going on in the world that God does not approve of, that God does not find pleasure in. So us as Christians, God calls us to be set apart. You know, in Wes's class this morning, you know, we went over 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 9, and, you know, it talks about God calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. You know, with that, that means that we're set apart, we're kind of cut from a different cloth, so that when people see us, they'll see that there's something different within us. And, you know, and when people see that, they just see you, and they just see, this is not your everyday person, you know, and we were talking about our president, the people who are the institutions of the states. And, you know, we were just talking about the long list of things that Donald Trump represents. And there are a lot more negative than there were positive about Donald Trump. But despite that, God still commands us to honor and submit to those institutions. And that's where God is able to be glorified. When people see us, and we see people that we don't really want to see in office, or we see people that are doing wrong, and they still see us standing and submitting to those, or standing and praying for those, people will wonder, like, what's wrong with you, you know? And that's why I kind of would title this sermon, Going Against the Grain. Right, because that's exactly what God asks of us. To not conform and just follow what everyone is doing, but to be set apart and just go to the way that God has provided us to go. What God has led us to go. And there's a skit, there's a popular skit out there by the song is from this group called Lighthouse. And the skit, this is really, really perfect. It starts out with this girl who has, she's with God. So this, it starts out with the girl and God, and God is pretty much showing this girl all of his creation. So he makes an apple, creates an apple, and gives her to eat. He creates a stream flowing water, and gives it to her to drink. He makes a rose come out of the ground and has her smell it and everything. So this girl has a really close relationship with God, and as it continues, the young girl starts experiencing different people that enter her life, and these people represent different types of sin. And with these sin, there's a girl who comes in with a bottle of alcohol, and she starts, you know, hanging out with this girl, and then she comes in involved with this life, this alcoholism, and next there's a person who has a wad of cash in his pocket, and then he's throwing the cash on the ground, and the girl is falling to her knees trying to pick up the money. You know, so she's putting all of these things before God, and little by little, there's a separation before God and this young lady. And as the skit continues, there's a charming young man who comes with a rose, and he says, "I have a rose of my own." He's using that to woo her, you know, and she begins to fall for him. And God is over on the side, and the camera's focused on this young girl, and God is off to the left, and you just see him like waving at her, like, "I'm here, I'm still calling you." And she completely ignores him. And as this continues, it ultimately leads up to the embodiment of death coming into the picture, and he puts a knife in her hand, and he's pretty much signaling her to cut herself. And the girl is going through so many emotions, and next, death puts a gun in her hand, forces her to put it towards her head. She's struggling, she's fighting death, but death ultimately wins and has the gun put up to her head. And now this is a powerful skit, and among all of this, God is still calling this girl. She's still reaching out for her. So when this girl has the gun to her head, you see all this long list of sin, long list of distractions that are keeping her to have a relationship with God. And the girl just has a come to realization that God is all she needs. She doesn't need all these things to keep her happy. So she puts the gun down and she runs towards God. But now she's already made the separation. So all these sins are keeping her from reaching God. So she's fighting through all this sin, and the music's playing, and it adds to dramatic effect that as she's fighting, the sin is keeping her back. But as she's fighting, God is right there, holding her on a rope, trying to pull her closer and closer and closer. Ultimately, God throws the rope down, and he stands in front of all the sin, holding the sin back. And then when the skit begins, the girl is wearing all black. At the end, as she's struggling, the sin tears at her shirt, and she becomes white. And that's to symbolize God stepping in. And she's going through all the things that she's gone through, and she still sees that God is her only refuge. God is her solid rock. And as God is holding sin back, he finally blows them all away, and everyone falls to the ground. And he's once again reunited with this young lady. And she's just so grateful for the things that she's been through, but God has stepped in there over her place. And with that, it's so easy to become engulfed in the pleasures of life, and the pleasures of premarital sex, the pleasures of drinking, and maybe getting drunk, or the pleasures of talking behind people's back, the pleasures of all these things that are not of God and do not glorify God when people see us doing it. So this is why we're called to be set apart. And with that, it's so easy to fall into these different temptations, these different distractions. But ultimately, we need to look was like, because, you know, he sent Jesus to kind of pave the way of how we can live our lives. You know, Jesus became flesh, and he was baptized by John the Baptist, and he was sent into the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights. And throughout that 40 days, he was starving, and he was tempted, and the devil was right there to say, oh, you're the Son of Man, you can make bread, you can make water, you can do anything you want. You're hungry, go make yourself something to eat. You know? And what does Jesus do? You know, he's in the wilderness, no one's there. He could easily just make some bread, slip some in his mouth, I'm good. 40 nights, 40 days, I'm good. But he doesn't. He said, man should not live by bread alone. And with that, these are the things that Jesus is showing us. Like, we shouldn't go for what is easy or what is right, because when people see us doing what's easy, that's no different from what everyone else in the world is doing. You know, because when we go out to the world and maybe we don't like our boss, or maybe we don't like a particular coworker, and we still pray for them, or we still, you know, offer help if they're in need, people then see a different side that they don't normally see in people. And this is what I mean by going against the grain. I used to be involved with this group called the Christian Fellowship. You've probably heard me reference them before. And one of the ways we did evangelism was going to each person's dorm, and we asked to take out their garbage. You know, now when someone knocks on your door asking to take out your garbage, you're looking at them like, you know, yeah, exactly. Oh, like, all right, this is weird and dumb, but you know, when we ask to take out their garbage, we also ask, do you have anything that you're going through in your life that you want us to pray for? You were like, first of all, you want to take out my trash, and then you want to ask me if I have anything to pray for. Like, who does this, you know? And that's kind of the reaction what we were going for. Because when people see you going out of their way to do something helpful, even though there's no need to, you know, going out of your way, and then to pray for people see something different in you. They see a light within you. You know, God said that we should be salt and light unto the earth. And this is one way that we figure we can do that in the campus. So people ultimately, you know, led us into their dorm rooms, and you know, they told us some things, and you'd be surprised how many people are willing to open up when they realize that you have an open ear for them, and you're actually there to listen and concern, and not just there to get the 411, to get the gossip of the school. You know, so there were times where people came up to us and they said, oh, my friend told me that you came to your dorm room and you prayed and blah, 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 and next thing you know, they're asking if we can pray for them. And you know, that's how you know that God is in control. You know, whenever you may think that God, you know, had, you know, me being a Christian and me following the way God, you know, wants us to go, it's not that easy. And it doesn't work. You know, me encouraging somebody, they're just going to make fun of me, or they're just going to, you know, look at that person, you know, their church boy, or whatever, what have you. But the battle is not hard, because those are the doubts, those are the thoughts that come into your mind that will keep us from reaching out to the person that needs to hear from you, that needs to. Sometimes what we tell people, that's probably the only positive thing that they'll hear for their whole day, for their whole week, for that month, from anybody. They won't get that from their friends, they won't get that from their parents, they won't get that from their teachers. Sometimes the encouragement that you give them is the only thing that they'll hear, the only positive thing that they'll hear that way. So I feel like we, as Christians, need to keep that in mind when we see someone down, when we see someone who's begging for food, or when we see someone on the highway who's has a disabled vehicle, and they see you stopping, you don't even know them, and then you help them change their tire, or you help them call paramedics or whatever and have you stay with them until they get there. People don't expect that. That's not normal. So this is why God calls us to be set apart, because these are things that just don't happen in normal society. So this is why He sent Jesus to kind of pave the way of how we can go against the grain, go against the culture, countercultural. You know, every part of Jesus' life as He began traveling to different parts of the earth was an example of how we should live our lives. You know, and every time we look at the things that Jesus has done, you know, and not to mention the sacrifice He made for us when He ultimately died for our sins, it was just so that we don't have to suffer from the sins that we cause. You know, God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And, you know, if we lie, it makes it no different from someone who kills somebody. Right? It makes it no different from someone who cheats on his wife. Right. Sin is sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Right. So when we realize this, we really need to thank God. You know, as Everton was leading the Lord's Supper, we can't take lightly the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, because without that sacrifice, the path to heaven, the path to righteousness, the path of eternal life in heaven, it's almost unattainable without that sacrifice. Right. So we need to keep that in mind when we wake up each morning, when we wake up given another day to glorify God, another day to encourage somebody, another day to let somebody know that you're loved. Jesus died on His cross, not for me only, but for you as well. And some people don't know that. And some people, it's your job for you to let them know. Because this isn't something that is popular. This isn't something that people really talk about. And what if you're that person that is there to tell them who it is, but then you're scared? Sometimes you have to put a step out of your comfort zone and go to people that you normally wouldn't go up to. And go to the people who are going through things. Go to the people who seem unapproachable. And tell them the good news. Tell them that they are loved. Tell them that they are beautiful. Tell them that, you know, they matter. Because some people aren't getting that. This is why we have depression at an all-time high. All these different things that are going on, all these people who are hurting inside, don't ever tell people, because people think that people don't care. So this is why we need to do our part in letting everyone know that God commissioned us. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Michael was talking about the word commission. You know, it's when you're given a special duty. And God has commissioned us to go out to all the nations, to expect to tell them the good news that God sent His only begotten Son on the cross to die for our sins. Right? And this is the news that everyone, it doesn't matter about the people in the body of Christ, but the people who don't know, the people who've never been to church, for the people who've been hurt by people who actually go to church, for the people who've actually been hurt by their parents, they need to hear that from us, right? So when we think about us going to church, it's to really prepare us for when we go out to work, when we go out to a restaurant, or when we go out to a normal day at the beach, for us to be the splitting image of Jesus Christ, that when they see us, So back to, you know, God. Just wanna backtrack. What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, that's one thing that we used to ask in the Christian fellowship, and a lot of people would say like, oh, it's really where, you know, God is pretty much reaching down to us. Or we're reaching up to people, or we're reaching up to God, we're reaching up to God for access into heaven. But that's a misconception that a lot of people believe. Christianity is a relationship where God is actually reaching down to us, you know, and he pretty much sends Jesus to show us the things we need to do to get closer to God. And that's why we need to be consumed with ourselves and we need to submit ourselves to what's written through the Word, because it's so easy to be separated from God. As I was talking about the skit, there was a huge separation between the girl and God. And if God is reaching that down to us, and there's so many things separating from me to Him, it makes it hard to reach heaven, ultimately. So this is why we must always be the Word. We must always surround ourselves with like-minded individuals, by going to church, and by, you know, engaging in Bible study. And even, not even just going to church, but meeting up with friends, inviting people over, and just getting together and just encouraging one another. Because without all of this, you know, you tend to be by yourself. And if you're going through things, if you're going through hardships, you're in your own head, and that's the worst place, because the enemy has you right where he wants you, where you can plant different things in your mind, plant different thoughts, thinking that you're inadequate, thinking that no one cares about you, thinking that you don't really look good in that dress, you don't really look good in that suit. That person didn't really mean what they said about me. You're actually not really good at anything. But when we surround ourselves with the body, Christ, there's no time for those thoughts to enter your head. And when we're constantly lifting each other up and asking how everyone's doing and following up, if you tell me, yeah, I'm going through some things right now I don't really want to get into, that's fine, I don't need to get into it with you. But the next week, you still follow up with that person and ask them, how's everything going? I've been praying for you. People don't normally think that. Usually when people ask what's going on in their lives, they think that it's probably because they just want to get into business. And you're not usually wrong in those cases. But what God asks us to do is actually pray for those who are in need, even more than ourselves, and to actually just follow up and actually be. I would change that. God wants us to love one another even more than ourselves. Not to say like, oh, we're following what God tells us, but that when they see us, they see God, they see Jesus, they see the things that's missing in this world. Because us as Christians, there's a far greater amount of people who don't know or don't believe in God than people that attend church and people that believe that Christ died for us. So when we go out, it's our job to plant the seed into each and every one of their lives, just to not do anything miraculous by, you know, doing something that's life-changing, but do something small, like giving a small compliment. You know, I know when I first came here, I started doing opening prayer, leading the Lord's Supper, anything like that. And something that was relatively new to me, but it was the encouragement from everyone, man, that was a really good job. Keep doing what you're doing. I really like what you said up there. That goes a long way. Well, some people think like, this is a small compliment, it doesn't mean anything. But it means the world to some people. But some people, they don't ever hear any comments like that. So this is what God has called us to do. But when he says that we're set apart, it means do the things that people don't normally do. Do the things that people don't normally, say the things that people don't normally hear. Because those are the things that God wants from us, but it's not being done enough. And you might get enemies along the way. People don't, they don't like you, things like that. People are trying to console people, treat people, are trying to lift people up. Misery loves company. And it doesn't matter what you do, people are going to find something to bring you down. They're going to find something to talk about, something bad to say about you. But don't worry about those people. You're not doing it for them. All of this, everything that we do is to glorify God. And I kind of, when I came here, when I was preparing the sermon, I was just asking God, I asked that I decrease as he increases, because this is something that, God put in my heart. So it's not like, Martin really did, deliver a great sermon, but it's all Lord, all the glory goes to God. And this probably won't pertain to most of you, but if it touches one person, that's all that matters. Yes. Because when I come up here, I'm not expecting a huge outflow of people saying I was touched, I was moved, that changed my life. But if it just touches one person, then I feel like I've accomplished something. So, when we think about all the things that God expects from us, we're naturally going to experience persecution. We're naturally going to experience enemies or opposition. But in James, it says, count it all joy. Because that's how you know you're doing it right, because when Jesus walked on earth, he made very good friends. There were people who were killing, who couldn't wait to kill him. We're in different times now. We won't be put in prison or asked to be crucified for telling the truth. But there's other places in this world where it is a sentence of death if you do talk about God, you do proclaim Jesus be our Lord and Savior, right? But we should count it a blessing here in this country that we're able to openly and freely speak of Jesus and speak of his goodness, speak of his sacrifice for us. And it's so easy to be caught up in all the talk of, church people are hypocrites, church people, they're the main ones that are caught up in sin. But the only thing we can do is just lead by example and be led by the word of God, and lead by the examples of Jesus Christ. Because if we do that long enough, people will no longer go with the stigma of all Christians are hypocrites, or all Christians, all preachers, they take money from the offering plate and use it for their own good. All those things will fade away. And just continue. And just focus on what's most important. Because all those talks, that's just distractions. That's voice for you to be like, alright, well maybe this isn't the way I should go. Maybe I should just follow what everyone else is doing. Because everyone says that Christianity, no one really has a really positive connotation of Christian. So why don't I just do what everyone else does? That's where we make the mistake. The thing is that if we don't do it, God has other people who will. God has, Jeremy comes up one of the things that he says is like, God doesn't need us to give you praise. God can raise up ox or animals or whatever, what have you, to glorify him. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to sustain him. So once we realize that God is bigger than us, but he just wants us to really truly be grateful for the sacrifice he made for us, and once we realize that truth, relax. He didn't need to send Jesus for us. We could have been drowning in sin and living eternity in hell. But it's for that simple, that love that he has for us. That's the only reason he sent Jesus. And that's the only reason Jesus stayed on that cross. Jesus had all the power in the world just at the snap of a finger. He'd done all the pain, all the anguish that he was in. If he really didn't love us, he was like, well, Michael didn't pray to me this morning, so I'm just going to step off this cross and I'm done with it. But Jesus knew that with his sacrifice, there are people who wouldn't be grateful for what he's done for us. But it's that love that he has for us. Just look up that word, agape. You know? It was the love that God has for us. The love stronger than anything wrong that we can do. No matter what we do, as long as we come back to him, just ask for forgiveness for our transgressions, ask for forgiveness for our iniquities. He will always forgive us. So I just want to encourage each and every one of us that we each and every one of us has a duty as a Christian. And you don't always need to be a preacher or elder to have an impact in someone's life. You know, one thing that Juliet and I are learning is that you can be in ministry even without being a preacher or an elder. Okay? You could be in ministry in your work. You could be in ministry in your marriage. You could be in ministry in every aspect of life. You know, if your success in marriage can help a couple who's struggling, who's on the verge of divorce. Sometimes you reaching out to someone who's going through mental depression and you going up to them and saying, I've been there. Sometimes you can, that one thing that you tell that person could prevent them from committing suicide that very night. You know, we're more important than we think of ourselves out to be. So God has commissioned us to be that person, to be that individual, to go to that person who needs to hear that one compliment, to hear that one good word that'll change how they view life, how they change how they view God, that will change how they view Christians. So I just encourage us to really view Christianity in that light. Because when we see it that way, we find out that this is bigger than us. No matter what people may think of us, no matter what people may say about us, we're not here to serve man, we're here to serve God. So in closing, I just want to say, like, it was nerve-wracking to have Michael send me that text. But when I thought about how I may be able to impact somebody's life, I didn't worry about how I sound, if I had the right thing to say, if I said the right words. None of that mattered. As long as I was able to say what God has put in my heart. Okay? So if you're here this morning and you want to begin a relationship with God, or you want a closer relationship with God, myself, Michael, wants to pray for you. And I just ask to go against the grain. And even though you may be scared or may be embarrassed to come up, I ask that you just put that all those thoughts aside and just think about your relationship with God. So I do encourage you, if you do have anything that you want us to pray for, just come up as we stand.